Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the allness of spirit and how it is everywhere and everything, yet not seen, heard, touched, smelled, or tasted. Listen as we discuss some of the characteristics of the invisible, intangible, omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. In this show, we will cross-reference scriptures to gain some clues as to inducing the dawning of spiritual light. Colossians 3:2-3. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under the awareness of your spiritual light. Swami, I see the title of today's show is The Spiritual is All There Is. Can you just give us a brief rundown as to what you mean by that title?
Yeah, we're talking that spirit is all. There is no matter or even mind, only one consciousness, and it's perfect and pure. It's eternal and unchanging, always was and always will be. And we want to try and figure out why we don't see it. How can something be everywhere and in everything and be concealed? What we're finding is that it's invisible and intangible to corporeal sense, to the mind that we have accepted to get us through this lifetime, is not capable of bringing forth this divine image.
So we want to go from the corporeal sense to something different so that we can sense it. So what does that look like when we do it?
Yeah, we want to come out of thinking with our corporeal senses, and we want to start to know the truth. Knowing the divine creation, the creation that's backed by divine law, even though it's invisible and intangible because it is spiritual, doesn't mean that it isn't there. And so we have to attune ourselves to it. We have to graduate from thinking with our five senses and cultivating spiritual sense. We come out of these modes of mortal thinking, the lower mind, the mid-mind, the higher mind. We make our mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind, these invisible, intangible, spiritual fact of being. And in silence and in stillness, we let it reveal itself to us. And when this spiritual light dawns on us, then we surrender to that. We turn our sense of well-being, we turn our entire sense of self over to it. And we let it express itself through us as us.
Let's talk about some of the characteristics of this allness that you're speaking of.
Yeah, the divine creation is perfect. There's nothing that ever needs to be added to it or taken away from it. It is the changeless state of being. It is the only self-existent power in the universe. And for us to acknowledge it, let it express itself through us, and to find our identity in this spiritual divine creation is how we start to demonstrate. But it's all powerful, it's all knowing, and it's everywhere. And so for us to attune ourselves to it, to make it accessible to us, is what we're talking about here. How do we induce the God experience? How do we let this spiritual light express itself through us? And if we're trying, we're striving, we're struggling, we're interfering with it. One of the shows that we did, I Want, always obscures I Am. If we're not in spiritual identity, if we believe that we are a finite mortal being, and we continue to think humanly, if we're continuously forming thoughts and opinions based on the information coming through our corporeal senses, we're creating an interference pattern with what the Bible calls the Word of God. Unless we come out of these modes of mortal thinking, we give up our human concepts, beliefs, and theories. We let this divine mind express itself through us, then we're in what in yoga they call the cycle of death and rebirth. We have a belief in two powers. It's like a thought loop, a never-ending, ever-ending cycle. We must trust and surrender to it, and then watch and see what's going to happen, because the omniscience, the omnipresence, the omnipotence of spirit, it doesn't fix the physical appearance. All it does is reveals the truth, the real creation that is backed by divine law, and not the human concept of it that finds its appearance of power in belief.
So just for some clarification, if I walk outside the front door and I see that I have a flat tire, some people might think, well, if God is in everything and it's everywhere, how can I have a flat tire? And so if I have this revelation that God is in everything and is everywhere, how can I, by using this divine science, not have a flat tire anymore?
In order to demonstrate this law at that level, we really have to have some things in place. The first order of business is you must know the divine creation. And then you have to know the difference between the divine creation and the counterfeit human concept of that. Because God did not make your tire. God did not make the car. God did not even make the human concept that you have of yourself. God is busy running God's universe, and it's perfect. Now, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to apply the divine law of life to the human concept of creation. And the only way that we can really do that with any semblance of success, we must convert everything back to spirit. You have to start with the divine creation. The divine creation is spiritual. And then by me, first of all, assuming spiritual identity, putting off the belief that I am this finite mortal being, and identifying with myself in the invisible, intangible, infinite truth of my being. And then from that perspective, there's no me, there's no car, because what is appearing as a car is just world thought made visible through my individual awareness. As I dissolve everything back into the one divine life, and I turn it over to the divine law, the divine creative principle of the universe, the law of perfect harmony, eternal life, and I let that resolve things into thoughts and exchange the objects of sense for the divine idea. Now, if I am successful with that, what will appear to corporeal sense is a perfectly good tire.
So, Swami, we did say in the opening that we were going to cross-reference scriptures to gain some clues as to inducing the dawning of spiritual light. And I thought maybe we could start with the 2 Corinthians 4:4. Would you go over that with us?
Yeah, it reads, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Yeah, this is here to help us to try and understand how something that is everywhere and in everything isn't seen. We can't see the divine creation. And so what they're saying here is that it is blinded. The world, I like what they say, the God of this world, which is G-O-D with a small g, of this world, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. And what they're really saying is that the testimony of our corporeal senses is not capable of bringing forth the divine image. But the other clue here is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Christ is the saving aspect of truth. Christ is what makes spiritual light comprehensive to human consciousness. And one of the reasons why we do a lot of watching and waiting for this spiritual light is that we're waiting for the Christ to reveal itself to us. We must accept this spiritual identity as who we really are.
So, Swami, the next Bible verse we'd like to go over is Philippians 4:7. I'll read that for everybody. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Would you mind breaking that down for us?
Yeah, for me, understanding is really rational thinking. It's what we do with our corporeal senses, the mind that works on duality, works on contrast. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, is this knowing of the divine creation. And it shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In the opening, we read Colossians 3:2-3, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What it's saying here is what we're calling life isn't life at all. And until this spiritual light dawns on us, until we realize that we're not a finite mortal being, we're dead. Which is why in yoga we call it the cycle of death and rebirth. But for us to realize this spiritual truth, the divine creation, is eternal life. What we have been saying in these shows, either we sow to the flesh, which is death, or we sow to the Spirit, which is eternal life. What we're trying to really work on is, what does that look like when I'm actually doing it? How do I know that what I'm calling Spirit, what I'm calling God, is the one true God, as opposed to a human concept about this one divine life? And so demonstration becomes your litmus test. Can I prove the presence of this divine creation? And like we said in one of our earlier shows, consciousness is experience. Whatever it is that I hold in my consciousness, whatever it is that dominates my consciousness, will outpicture and externalize as my experience. And so we use the testimony of our senses to give us clues as to what is it that I am conscious of. Being able to attune yourself to this spiritual truth must outpicture as a harmonious, peaceful, healthy external image.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, support supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I'd like to move forward in our notes. It looks like we have some information from Herb Fitch from his Revelations of St. John, Class 6B. And maybe you can start us off with the Revelations 2:22.
Yeah, that reads, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." Now Herb continues and he says, talking about self-love, "Whoever then is involved with self-love will find great tribulation." He continues with Revelations 2:23, "And I will kill her children with death." And then he says, "You see, Jezebel is only the symbol of self-love." And then he goes back to the quote in Revelations, "I will kill her children with death." What are the children of self-love? Everything that we do humanly is a child of self-love. He continues with Revelations 2:22-23. "I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." He continues and he goes back to quoting Revelations, "I am he which searches the reins and hearts." He speaks, "The Christ within can't be fooled. You're in Christ within, or you're in self-love. You're in Christ, or you're in personal me. Who decides your experience? You do. Your consciousness makes its decision. It keeps you in a sense of personal me, or it releases you to Christ." And that is the meaning of, "I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Your consciousness will decide what you receive. And he continues, "In personal self, all of your children, all of the children of self-love, all the children of personal selfhood are condemned to death." Can anything be more explicit? And looking around you, isn't it true that whoever is in a personal sense is condemned to death? Do you know any personal self that isn't going to die? Do you see any personal deeds that anyone takes with them? So we are being lifted into the awareness that humanhood and Jezebel are one and the same. Humanhood is personal self. And as long as you have a personal self, it is going to die. And the deeds of personal self are condemned to death. That's the end of the quote.
So I take that to mean if we are operating from this personal self, the Christ within is not going to appear. Do I understand that to be correct?
Yeah, that's it. We can't be in a personal sense of self and be the Christ. We can't be in mortal, physical, mental identity, and spiritual identity. We have to put off the old man, as it says in the Bible. We have to give up the belief that we are mortal and finite, and then we have to accept that we are infinite and spiritual. We're eternal, unchanging. And the interesting thing about that is it's not a something that we are doing. It's really an accepting. It's giving up the belief that I'm not the child of the divine, that I'm not an eternal spiritual being. And it is that belief that is so strong in us. And we're socialized with a belief in matter, a belief in this mortal mind, we are a body that has a mind. But in truth, everything is spirit. Everything is one. Everything is a different aspect of the same thing.
Now, that last line that you read, it says, "And the deeds of personal self are condemned to death." I think that means any deeds, whether it's good deeds or not so good deeds, because you're still operating from personal self. Would that be right?
That's exactly right. Mortal can't produce immortal. Finite can't produce the infinite. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. To attune ourselves to the divine idea, we must be in spiritual identity. The Bible says, "Ask in my name, and it shall be given." And what we really have to understand is, my name means my likeness. We must assume spiritual identity in order for us to really open up the channels of communication with spirit. Like attracts like.
So I have to change how I think about performing good deeds. I could perform good deeds all day long, but it's not going to help me enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, see, that to me is a belief that comes out of the old theology. The whole thing of being a good human, striving to become accepted in the kingdom of heaven, whereas it doesn't work like that. We have to put off the belief that we're not the divine child. And then we have to identify with spirit. Now, spirit is whole. It's complete. We have to come out of the belief in the many and rise into the understanding of the one, that there is but one life in this universe. And if there's one life, who are you? Who am I? And coming back to what it said, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In God is the one divine life. You don't go in there with personal sense. We have to put off the belief that we are finite and mortal.
So let's talk more about how we can cultivate this spiritual sense.
What we've been working with is think differently, which means cultivate spiritual sense, accept the mind of Christ. Belief only gives us the promise of God, but not the experience of God. Faith and understanding are needed to demonstrate the divine omnipresence. And we're not seeking for a something outside of ourselves here. We're acknowledging the spiritual fact of being. The divine creation is right here, it's right now. It is being held, controlled, and governed by the divine law. And if we are not consciously attuned to it, we're unconsciously attuned to the world concept of the divine creation, which is the cycle of death and rebirth.
So earlier you had said that spirit is all. You have said in the past that we are socialized to believe in matter and mind. So how do we go about moving on from that?
Yeah, the false belief seems to interfere with the spiritual truth as a veil or an overlay. This is why in Christian Science healing, there's a denial of error applied, where really only the affirming of the truth is necessary. They apply the denial of the error to try and break the belief in matter or mortal mind. Most of us, like you said, we're so socialized to believe this is real because I can touch it, taste it, smell it. But in truth, the only thing that is real is this pure consciousness, which doesn't appear in our corporeal senses.
Let's talk about this denial of error. What does that look like when we do it?
Yeah, what we have to realize, error isn't real. The only thing that is real is the truth of being. And it would be like creating a human rule to chase the darkness before you turn on the light. Darkness is only the absence of light, not an opposing power. Error isn't an opposing power to truth. Error is the absence of truth. And the only thing that gives error the appearance of power is our belief in it. And so we're really trying to come out of belief, period, because we're finding that the entire human experience is driven by belief.
Instead of just denying the error, we want to apply the affirming of the truth, and that's all that's necessary.
Right, because truth is going to dispel the error just like light dispels the darkness. When you turn on the light, it just illuminates the room. When you step out of the room and you turn off the light, there isn't an opposing power. There isn't a black, inky mist that fills the room. It's just the absence of light. And the same is true with ignorance. Ignorance is just the absence of truth. And all we have to do is turn on the light.
So, Swami, you're talking about light that we can see with our corporeal senses, but let's talk a bit more about spiritual light.
Yeah, see, Christ is what they would call the API for spiritual light, the application programming interface. That Christ is what makes spiritual light comprehensive and intelligible to human consciousness. Without the Christ, we don't have the app to apply divine creation. Christ is the dawning of spiritual light in human consciousness. With it, we have dominion over the world. Because we have dominion over the belief that we're not the divine child.
So, Swami, I believe we have some works by Hermann Hering that would fit nicely into what we're just talking about.
Yeah, he has a paper called Christian Science Healing, Spiritual and Scientific. And in a summary that he wrote here, he says, in Christian Science Healing, we must first know the nature and character of divine reality. Then see that what is termed material existence is wholly mental, that sin, disease, and death are not of God, but are manifestations of erroneous states of human consciousness, and therefore are never true nor authoritative. We thus perceive that we do not have to be sick, for God did not make us so. When spiritual knowing dominates consciousness, the error-banishing influence of divine truth and love establishes harmony. That's kind of a really great way of looking at how this is really working. Like we have been saying, consciousness is experience. And if our consciousness is dominated by spiritual knowing, then it must reveal this spiritual creation. And then, of course, we have to understand that the divine creation is perfect. Now, that's not something we get out of Orthodox religion today, because they believe that God created good and evil somehow. And that's what keeps us in this thought loop. That's what perpetuates this cycle of death and rebirth, this belief in two powers. The first commandment is, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not place strange guards before me. But you must know that it is perfect. The divine creation is absolute harmony, absolute love. And when you start with that as the foundation, now you've got a principle that you can start to prove.
Well, it's about that time we have to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. When you're on the homepage and you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio, just click that. That directs you to the Blog Talk Radio show catalog page. And then by clicking on the products tab, then online classes, direct you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. So with that, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts for today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under the awareness of your spiritual light. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga Kind of Day. Namaste.